Good morning, Turks and Caicos. Welcome to another segment of Career Connection powered by Flow. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, and today I have three university graduates joining me in the studio in the person of William Clare, Kayon Cox, and Davidson Lewis. Today we'll be discussing navigating the job market as returning graduates. This episode is designed to help persons share their experiences and apply it to a wider array or more diverse or just different opportunities. But before we do this, we will pause to hear from our STEAM sponsor, Flow.
How to double the internet speed for free sound.
Bring it on!
That's what every Flow Home internet customer can celebrate.
Enjoy double the speeds at no additional cost. It's another way we're showing our appreciation of you as we keep you connected with more value. Enjoy your free 2x the internet speed boost, delivering the best home internet experience for all your work, study, and entertainment needs. Join Flow and elevate to the best internet experience. Visit a Flow store or discoverflow.co for more details.
Welcome back to today's program. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Melanie Smith, career coach and talent consultant, and you're listening to Career Connection, where we deliver powerful yet practical tips and tricks to empower, encourage, and enlighten students, graduates, and career professionals to find clarity, confidence, and connection for the world of work. We do this through interviewing career, life, and business experts, and give advice on how to explore career options to help you grow and prosper and close opportunity gaps with employment by connecting talent with opportunity one person at a time. In the studio this morning is a group of university graduates, and we'll be discussing navigating the job market as returning graduates. I am so happy to have each of you joining me this morning. Thank you so much for being here. And we will start by having you introduce yourselves. You can share with us what you've studied, where you've studied, and your plans since returning back to Turks and Caicos. We will start with you, William.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is William. I studied at the University of Leeds. I did an environmental management degree.
Okay.
And I then transitioned into sustainability and climate change.
Okay.
So coming back, it's been an interesting journey. So right now I'm interning remotely at an impact and investment management company based in the States.
Okay, that's good. That's nice.
Supporting my family endeavors and seeing what else I could kind of do with the community.
Okay, awesome. So good to have you. Kayon?
Good morning, Turks and Caicos. This is Kayon. I did my master's degree at the University of Leeds in sustainability and business.
Okay.
I am currently working for the Turks and Caicos Islands government as a registrar, where I'm responsible for registering all births, deaths, and marriages for the Turks and Caicos Islands. I would love to work in environment, but I have not had that opportunity as yet, but I'm still passionate about it. So I'm looking forward with working with different networking clubs so that I can get my hands on actually committing to doing that for Turks and Caicos. But as of right now, I am just working for Turks and Caicos Islands government.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. Happy to have you here.
Good morning. I think I've actually taken a course that's sort of like a bit different from what the two of my peers have here. So I took a 4-year degree in business and tourism management. And particularly the reason for that is because I know I'm going to come back home to the Turks and Caicos Islands to actually sort of like put what I've learned into the field here. And so it's been a wonderful journey, 4 years, two of which were spent in France. And so, so I'm pretty excited to actually be in Turks and see how that sort of like career actually take me.
All right, wonderful. Well, I'm proud of all of you, Davidson and I have known each other for a number of years, him and my children's school together at Whole Gospel Christian Academy.
Correct.
And so I call him my son.
Correct.
And so I know him very, very well. For those of you who may be wondering, who is Davidson?
Right.
But he is a Turks and Caicos Islander.
That's right.
All right, so I want to just ask, are there any additional studies in the future for any of you?
Well, but to the field that I'm in right now, it doesn't necessarily require a massive load of studying. Mm. So I think for what I've done, it's quite enough. But at the same time, there is sort of like the idea of actually keep sort of like pushing yourself, right?
Right.
And so it doesn't necessarily mean that because you've done a degree in X, Y, and Z, that is going to be the only thing that you're going to be doing.
Okay.
So perhaps 5 years down the line, I could change career completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's not a no for now, but mm-hmm. it's definitely something that I think will perhaps come yeah.
Wonderful.
Just to follow up on that, I think the pivoting process as well, because it's been a bit of a difficult process trying to find my way
right.
in the UK and here.
Right.
So I think coming home, I really want to get more into the investment side of things.
Okay.
Because what you find, especially with companies that manages money and the climate change impact that's happening in Europe and the States,
mm-hmm.
they're required mm-hmm. to show disclosures to what they're doing to kind of deal with climate change risk.
Okay.
So it gives me the ability to kind of leverage on my experience academically, but also trying to integrate the finance side as well. And
okay.
with the environment, it's an ever-changing thing.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to get more into like, you know, environmental consultancy.
Okay, that's interesting.
Environmental impact assessments and things like that. So it's a gradual process.
Wonderful.
But it's something I'm passionate about.
Wonderful. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, Ms. Smith, just like my colleague here, William, I also want to get into consultancy. It may not per se be another degree that I may be looking
right.
into. I don't want to knock it because it can happen, but it's not per se another degree that I may be looking into, but I always believe in, you know, getting yourself certified.
Right, right.
You know, I always tell people that you can't go to court without your proof and mm-hmm. your papers. So I personally like to be a well diverse person.
Right.
So I'm always looking to do a little course online here and there. So definitely there will be other certifications, but as it relates to another degree, I'm not quite sure.
That's
maybe
right.
another master's
okay.
in a different area.
All right.
But
okay.
I haven't considered doing a mm-hmm. PhD
or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was something uh-huh. that like my parents kind of slided, you know, could you kind of be like do a PhD? I said, well, it takes a lot of commitment.
Yes,
and it
yes.
takes, you kind of have to focus a lot in a specific area.
Right.
And who
right.
knows where the world is really going to go.
Right, right.
But
And how do you feel about what you've studied, William, you know, and coming back here and the opportunities perhaps that may not be available?
Well, 7 years ago, I mean, some people, when I did sustainability and climate change, they actually thought I was kind of losing it, really and truly, because everyone was going for medicine, law, and the likes.
Right.
And 10 years ago when I left, they simply just put down any scholarship for law, so it
right.
wasn't as attractive. And I always knew that in the islands, we're beautiful by nature,
right, right,
clean by choice,
right.
So eventually it was going to come around.
Right, right.
And, you know, these last few months, you've seen the heat waves in California,
mm-hmm.
France, and others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a self-validation,
right,
so to speak.
Okay. So even though that you were asked that question, then you have no regrets on what you've studied?
No. But there were times of doubt, because you're trying. Because I think it's not that the islands never needed it. It's just how can you kind of create it here?
Right.
And I always got the impression that, you know, sometimes you kind of have to create your own opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as islanders,
so
I think we rely upon the apparatuses that are here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we kind of have to refine that and refine ourselves in the process.
I like that. And Kayan, I know you've also shared with us that you're currently working with Turks and Caicos government and have not been able to find a position just yet with what you've studied. And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad because, of course, like anybody else who goes to school to study a particular thing that they're passionate about, you would always have hope that you will one day be able to use it
right.
or use that degree to achieve certain goals. And one thing about me, I think when I was younger, especially like doing after I did my bachelor's degree and came home and had a few issues finding work, I think when I went away this time to do my master's, it was more on the grounds of, should I come back?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be room for me to come back? And no matter where I went, no matter how far it was, I was always drawn back to being home because I just love being home. But the one thing in the back of my mind that I would say is that it can be daunting when
right.
you're home and you feel like you can't make it to where you... We all have goals.
Right.
When you can't make those goals, you feel discouraged.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully, one of these days there will be change.
Right.
We would have the opportunity to go into certain fields, because there are a few things for Turks and Caicos Islands that I would love to see. I'm not sure if they have a sustainability department here, per se, or a ministry per se that falls under.
Right,
but I would
right.
love to see that happen, because one of the goals personally for me is to ensure that, you know, Turks and Caicos last for generations to
right.
come.
Very much so. Right.
And
right.
so
I really like that.
To piggyback off my colleague, I think it's the Ministry of Environment.
Okay.
So when I was a teenager, I was kind of interning for the Department of Environment and Coastal Resources. They were DECI, then it became DEMA, then they became DECI again.
Right.
But I know that they've had issues in terms of like labor and I guess expertise, really.
Right.
So I think that kind of has to be a reforming process.
Okay.
But I think just it's important just to give this administration a chance to really
That's
begin
important.
To heal the wounds of the country, because COVID gave us a quiet blow, you know,
sure
especially
that,
being a tourism centric. So I think maybe in a year or two, when they've had a chance to kind of ready the ship, it would be a very good checkpoint to see where they are. But there is a wider systemic issue when it comes to actually placing young people.
Yeah.
Because in a way, you kind of, when we come home, we almost feel like prodigal children.
Wow.
Like, but you know, we're wanted, but we're not yet ready.
Mm-hmm.
If that kind of makes sense. And there were times I was like, okay, well, I'm in my 20s still. And you would probably see a job description and there'd be like a 4 to 7 year experience. And I was like, unless you're pretty good, you got the job you wanted, the right level coming out of college, it's very unlikely you'll have that degree of experience.
Right.
Exactly what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You only get there in your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been battle tested, unfortunately.
That you said that.
And it's like, sometimes there's a gap in terms of the level of experience. There isn't really a room, especially from my industry, that to be like a junior person, to be like an understudy.
Right.
Yeah, to kind of develop the way in.
The way in. Because you're graduating, and so there are times when you might have not had the opportunity to do on-the-job training. And so most persons don't want to hire you because you didn't get an experience or however. So you're saying that there should be levels to you being brought into the system.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as locals, there has to be a degree of humility as well.
Right.
You know, before you can lead, you have to first learn to serve and serve diligently and consistently.
So
there has to be a system by which you can be seconded, you know, and you can understudy, whether it's someone from overseas that comes in, there's a local that's there, so there's continuity.
Right.
Besides
that,
but we've had issues of brain drain.
Wow, yeah,
And there have been communities and kids.
Wow.
When I left 10 years ago, you know, in Leeds, there's probably less than 10 of us in the whole city. You know, people didn't know Turks Island.
There's a little Turks and Caicos in Manchester.
Yeah, little Turks and Caicos. You could go in those spots right now and you feel like you're home. It's just the buildings are different.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's just that it's
are not coming back.
They see, and I don't, you know, I think it's a bigger issue than that, because I think they see an opportunity and you can't knock someone. Because that's what I did. I moved, but I came back. But I think there's a lot. It's a nuanced discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we should try not to make it simple.
Right. And I know even with Davidson comment that he made about what he studied, as well as perhaps, you know, still building skills to be able to do something else as well. And I like that you said that, because I did a career change completely at one point where I was a nail technician. And I did that for a number of years before I really found my way in the hospitality industry, or even HR for that matter. And so from a nail technician in the beauty world, I'm now a career coach, you know. So it is possible for persons to take on that opportunity to be able to do something else. Davidson, share with us, how was your experience being away from home during your study time?
It was the whole 4 years I've been away, I knew that my time in England and in France was sort of like restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I have been away because I wanted something, and as soon as I got it, I'm going to be back home.
Right.
So it was always sort of like envision that after my 4 years, I'm going to be coming back home. I'm going to be starting something along the line of my studies. If it doesn't happen, I'll do something completely different. And I was completely flexible.
Wow.
And I think it's perhaps something that we all need to sort of like be vigilant of is that although we have a degree in X, Y, and Z, coming back home, it may not be giving us that opportunity that we want. And so we've got to create it.
Yeah.
What my best saying is that if someone cannot give you the job you want, you create the job.
I'm a prime example.
It's the kind of thinking that I think a lot of us need to really grasp with the fact that, you know, if Flo doesn't give me the job I want, if the government does not give me the job I want, I'll create it.
Exactly.
There's gaps. There's opportunities. And we need to take actions for what we want to achieve.
And I think there's a realm of mindset shift that we need, a paradigm shift. And I think in the islands we have a bit of an individualistic thing to us. And to kind of create this change, we kind of have to become a bit more united and more joined collectively. People of common minds of interest, you know.
And I, even the three of you being here, I love the way you guys collaborated, you know, in terms of who can I find to join me on the show with Melanie. And so that was amazing.
Kayan was a brilliant choice. I completely applaud that. And Davidson, I actually met Davidson socially.
Right.
And the first person who came back home and said, I think Davidson, he had a different story. So give them the chance to have value.
To have value. And I was excited because when you asked me if I knew him, I thought to myself, if I knew him, he's my son.
I was like, okay.
You know, so I was so excited just to see how you guys connected in order to join me this morning on the show and to share your stories, because we hear of a lot of people who, you know, perhaps might have regret coming back because the opportunity is not made available for them. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think in my case, I was 21 at the time, and I had just finished my bachelor's of environmental management, and the kind of the rumblings in my family were like, listen, just don't come back home now, just get all your education sorted, and don't even look at home right now, try to get your experience, because this will be something that they will bash you
and
on.
And that's the same sentiment I share with my children,
and
learn all you can before you even look back.
But at the same time, you know, even though I respected the UK, it was never really my home.
Your home, yes.
So I said I knew eventually I would come back, and I would just have to kind of rough whatever storms that's there, you know.
Right. But were any of you able to pursue a grad program before moving back in your career development?
I was. I'm not the dominant conversation. So in the UK, I don't know how it works in the States, but after you finish, especially if you're fresh out of college, you can do a 2 or 3 year program, and it's kind of split within 6 month placements. So it took me, even in the UK, where I speak about being humble, any position you see, especially in London, You're competing hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
So you get reality checks quite quickly. That's the kind of where you stand or where you need to be in terms of elevating your skills. It took me like perhaps maybe a year after I graduated.
Wow.
So I've worked, what did I do? I worked as a telephone person.
Okay.
I kind of worked.
Everything.
I worked at the NHS. I did a lot of part-time jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just to kind of make it, just
make
to get, just to get money.
Yeah. Have you both tried as well?
I have worked in the UK.
You did. But okay. Davidson, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I have worked in France, in fact, and it was what we call an Erasmus program.
Okay. Mm.
So sort of like in your 4 years degree, you take a gap year and you actually go abroad. And I chose France, and because I loved it so much, I decided to stay. So it's probably one of the best things I've done to sort of like say this small boy from Blue Hills now work for Amadeus, which was one of is still one of the biggest sort of like airline companies and technology and everything. So I think it was amazing to sort of like have something like this in my CV as we speak.
Okay.
Potentially as a door opener. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and so you've worked hard to graduate from university and you've earned the skills needed to excel in your career. How have your experience been with searching for career opportunities in the graduate job market since returning?
Well, I guess for me, in tourism, and I guess this time around is probably the worst time to be graduating. I've done a little statistic just to show you how hard that it actually gotten. So I've applied for 239 jobs.
Wow.
I've got 5 interviews, so that's about 3.6%, and I've got 0 job offers.
Wow.
But you know what? I am very non-discouraged.
Right.
I still very much like the fact that I've studied something that I really enjoy.
Right.
And I just have to come to agreement that it is not the time right now.
Mm. And I like that, Davidson.
I like that because we
sometimes have the concept of, you know, I got this degree, and Kayon shared that earlier, that she still has hope, but she's working somewhere else at the moment.
Right.
And I know sometimes persons believe, you know, I have a master's, and also the pressure of society is on us, perhaps her too, you doing registrar and have a master's, you know, in a different degree, and this is what you're here doing. And it puts a feeling on us more so, like, you wasted your time away for so many years studying and all of that. So I'm happy to hear that you are looking upward, mm-hmm. right? And this is what this episode is more so designed for, so persons won't get discouraged, despite the fact that it might have been so many years and they didn't get the opportunity to do exactly what they want right now.
Yeah, it's a journey, and I think we all know that it's going a long time.
Right.
Your first job is not going to be your last job. You're mm-hmm. going to move from it. You're going to learn from it, and it's just a matter of knowing where you want to be in that 10 years,
right.
that 20 year
right.
time frame, and work towards
mm-hmm.
that.
Having a plan.
I think mm-hmm. Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, says you begin with the end in mind.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think especially mm-hmm. for young people, you know, if I was 18 again, I think that would kind of be kind of the focus.
Right.
Like, have a clear vision in your head as to what you want to do and the pieces that you have to do to kind of get there. And the time is going to take, you know, who do you have to network with?
Right.
What internships you have to take, whether it's paid or unpaid.
Right.
And you begin to kind of build your story, because I'm not going to lie, like, you know, there were times where I couldn't find jobs remotely related to my degree.
Mm-hmm.
But then when mm-hmm. I take a step back and I have like a 20-foot view,
right.
I can see how there were different stops of the journey, and they began to kind of form the tapestry of my career.
Right.
There was something of value I got in each experience, you know.
Okay.
Even if it wasn't always pleasant.
Always pleasant.
Like in customer service, you know, mm-hmm. like you get bits of both, you know.
Awesome. I really like how this conversation is going. You wanted to share something, Kayon?
Yeah, what mm-hmm. I will say to that, in terms of like finding a job, like, well, all of the viewers know by now that I do currently have a job, but I was Turks and Caicos past Sheevlin Scholar, and I was able to study in the UK, and when I came back, I was fortunate enough to still have my job placement in government.
Okay,
so I was very appreciative of them mm-hmm. saying mm-hmm. that, hey, we are okay with you going to school. When you come back, you can get
your
job that you were doing.
Right.
But what I will speak to that is mm-hmm. when I was doing my bachelor's degree, I was a Turks and Caicos Island Government Scholar at the time. And mm-hmm. I ran away to do business management at Johnson & Wales University. And when it was time for me to come back, it was so difficult finding a job. You know, they would tell you, you know, send your resume to the labor department, you know, let everyone know that you're coming back. And literally there was nothing. There was no answer mm-hmm. or anything like that. So I definitely feel like there needs to be more succession planning
mm-hmm.
when it comes
mm-hmm.
on to saying that this is the number of scholars we have mm-hmm. doing these degrees.
Right.
So
right.
that and I feel like that should also be hand in hand with planning your budget
right,
as well.
Yeah, right.
Because
so
then
true.
When you're planning your budget, you know, well, I'm going to need 3 more admin officers or 3 more directors. You should be able to look at the students that you've sent away and who are graduating on this year.
And when they're coming, yes.
Right, and
mm-hmm.
with what degree.
Right.
It makes
right.
no sense you send a student away to go and do business management or law or anything like that, and when you come back, you're still outsourcing these things
right.
when you have that talent.
When you have the talent
right here. And the thing is, I feel as though you, as a young person at that time, I didn't feel as though I was given the chance
to even
put my foot in the door
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
say, let me understudy someone who has done this.
Right, right.
To learn
and
it.
That's very important.
You know, because I feel like a lot of older people, too, they look at the younger people who have gone away for school and come back as if, oh, they just want position.
Right.
That's not
right.
the case.
That's not it.
We just want
mm-hmm.
to, you know, pay our dues,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Like,
we want to see Turks
right.
and Caicos get better.
Right.
And the only way we can do that, the change is with the young
it's
people.
It's with the young people.
And I feel like they need to, you know, be more accepting of that.
Right.
You know, we're not here to push you out per se, but because we're going to need the guidance
right,
from the people
right.
who are there.
And so even for me, you're right about that, because that's what I feel like I'm doing now when it comes to coaching and mentoring persons to help guide them, because Even last evening, I was with the Rotaract Club, and I always think about them as tomorrow's leaders today. Mm-hmm. And so we are helping to prepare them mm-hmm. for that roadmap that they have to take in the future. Mm-hmm. And I want to piggyback off what you said earlier. You shared a thread a week or so ago that got my attention of persons just dropping their degree in the chat and perhaps how it can change within the community and what you can right. help. What were you thinking when you when you wrote that post?
But I would say, like, it was a lot of, like, maybe self, like, self-thinking mm-hmm. to, like, to say, like, you know, you have all these ideas that you right. want to do for Turks and Caicos as it relates to sustainability at the time, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel like either I wasn't talking to the right people or the right audience wasn't
right.
hearing me, per se. Mm-hmm. So I know personally that there are so many young people here yes. in Turks and Caicos with their degrees who have so much potential right. to add to the workforce
right.
and to add to, you know, Turks and Caicos becoming a better place.
Right.
You know, we all sit back and say, hey, we want Turks and Caicos to be better, but we're not given the chance. And I shared something else recently where I was saying that, you know, I'm not looking for a handout, I'm just mm-hmm. looking for a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
got my attention, and I thought, she's hungry.
Right,
you know?
It's simply what it is. Like, you know, Turks and Caicos is where I live. I don't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
And
right.
so, you know, people that come here from other countries, yes, they may love Turks and Caicos and they add value to the workforce, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but they have somewhere else to add
to
value
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
I'm not fortunate
right.
to have somewhere else to add value mm-hmm. to. Turks and Caicos is where is that for me, and it's where I want to be. I just want the chance to be able to help be a part of the development of Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel as though, like, I can talk about so many friends right,
right
now who
right.
are graduating and they're applying for these jobs. Mm-hmm. They're not being, you know, interviewed like
not
you know, Davidson
right.
or, you know, mm-hmm. for 239 jobs. And
that's
25.
A lot.
That is ridiculous.
Wow.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. That's so a lot. And I do condemn too. Because
right.
And I want to be honest with you. It might have not been 239, but last week I had Mr. Drexel Seymour on the show, and you know, he's a very good friend of mine, and I've shared some stuff with him previously, even about my recruiting company. And you know, I had the opportunity of sending so many resumes to just one organization, and they kept coming back, and I thought, it wasn't 239, but it was a lot. It was a lot. And I thought, out of all of that, you can't find one person? You can't be serious, you know? And so I understand the pain that you're feeling, because out of all of that, there's no response and no opportunity. And so my next question to you would be, it is often said that no one cares about your degree when you return. Do you believe this to be the case?
I would probably say 50-50. Like, without the degree, you might not get a glance.
Yeah.
But without the experience, you might not be able to stand the door,
mm.
really and truly. Because I truly believe there were some times, like when I've seen the job resume, I probably felt maybe competencies for maybe at least 60-70% of it.
Right.
But the experience component of it, the ability to kind of learn on the job, it wasn't. There just was not an opportunity for me.
Right.
So you kind of feel as though the odds are kind of stacked against you.
Wow.
In a way.
Wow.
I don't think it was deliberate, but it's just that they haven't really thought it through. As to a young person that's coming in, that even if, let's say, for example, you got experience in the UK, mm-hmm. how do you contextualize it here?
Yeah, sure.
Because cause it's almost like, sure. even if I had the experience, that could be another arrow that's shot in my direction. Okay, mm-hmm. but how does it work here?
Right, right.
So you know, and I think to some extent, it's like it may be unintentional, but it's almost like a little bit of a mistrust, mm. a distrust of us youth coming back. Like, are you able to kind of match the job?
Wow.
And I sometimes don't think it's, for people that are coming from abroad, I think there's a little bit more of a trust factor.
Right.
You know? Obviously, it's a bit deeper than that,
right.
but you get what I'm saying. There's
a bit
of a mistrust. Like, we're not yet tried and proven.
Which should not be the case.
I would say to that is that, you know, I feel as though, I wouldn't say they don't care, but I feel as though they're more infatuated with the idea that they have so many, you know, young people who are doing these degrees. I don't think they actually put in the effort to use it. So it's like, you know, you may say, oh, we had 300 scholars this year, and you outline the different areas that they're going to do, and they're happy about it. But what do you do when these people return? That effort isn't shown. And I was saying to one of my colleagues that I feel as though, you know, Turks and Caicos has lost their relationship with their young
people.
Because, like, with any relationship, if there's no effort, if you feel as though the next person isn't trying, if there's distrust, you're going to lose that relationship.
Wow.
And I feel as though that's the same thing that's happening now with the young people. I don't think the young people have trust in the Turks and Caicos to say, I'm going to be valued when I come
when you come back
with my degree. So I feel like there's a lot of animosity there as well.
Okay.
Because, you know, you would say, when I was doing my Shevlin, when I got my Shevlin Award, you know, everyone, you get praised
and
for
that,
it.
And I have that actually here to share.
you get
everybody's excited.
Like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, she's going to do sustainability.
Yes.
And, you know, you do the interviews and you do the videos and, you know, you do well. You get, like, my dissertation, in fact, was the best in my field. And you get praised for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come back,
What happened? I actually have that in here because everybody is celebrating you, right? Like, congratulations. I mean, even, you know, I didn't share that you and I work together, so we're former colleagues from the Heartland Group, and we were, like, you know, beaming with pride for you when you went away. And then you're back, and, you know, I'm not trying to say there's nothing wrong with what you're currently doing, but, you know, why the opportunity hasn't been offered to you, because I wanted to find out too, do any of you feel, if you, well, you didn't even have an interview, that perhaps you were even given an advantage to be interviewed for any of these positions that you, that is available here that you studied for?
Man, to be honest, Ms. Smith, sometimes when you apply for these jobs, they don't even give you a received email. They don't even confirm that they've gotten your
that
email.
They received it.
And what I do want to point out is that I had a friend that applied for a job recently, and they didn't you know, interview him or shortlist him. And because he had, like, a different last name that wasn't quite sound as though it was a Turks and Caicos last name, we gave him the idea to, you know, put your mommy last name then. You hyphenate it. And he started to get confirmation and emails and shortlists and things. So it's kind of like you don't know how deep these things run. It may not even be because you have a degree and they don't want you. It could also be because they know you mixed with something, or they would say you're not indigenous per se. And I think it's way deeper.
And I think that all comes with what you're saying, more so a persons who are even leading these departments then. You know, so it is deeper than, you know, what meets the eye.
And then, you know, Turks and Caicos is really diverse now.
Right.
So you're really going to find someone who's just, you can find it, who's just straight Turks Islander. But then you have so many diverse people. People come here, they meet different, you have different spouses from different countries. So your kid may not be full Turks and Caicos Islander, but that don't take away from loving Turks and Caicos and wanting to pay your dues here.
Right.
Even in our scenario, you and I have spoken offline, we're the product of that. You have a Jamaican parent, and I have a guy and his parent. So we have that future, but we're Turks Islanders.
Right, you are, and you're right.
But I've been fortunate enough to get one or two interviews, but like I said before, that experience component was something that I just could not fully shake. And it's like, you know, I do think it's like a structural reform that kind of needs to happen.
Okay.
There kind of needs to be some type of secondment process. So let's say if a young person goes off, there's certain check marks you should try to have. You could have an international internship, but you should have at least an understudy in your second year.
Right.
To say you're coming,
what I'm saying? Yeah, persons need to know that.
And I think that's actionable, but it's just the mindset of that's something that they can do.
Okay.
If it's on.
Perfect. All right, interesting topic. You are listening to Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie Smith, and my guests, William Clare, Kayon Cox, and Davidson Lewis. We'll be right back after this short break and a word from our sponsors.
Flow helps you stay connected to what matters. Simple plans and a better network mean that you can enjoy 30 days of unlimited social messaging, 10 gigabytes of reliable data to use as you like, and 1,000 local anywhere calls and texts. with the always-on prepaid plan, all for $80 with Turks and Caicos' most reliable LTE network. With Flo, it only gets better.
You're listening to Career Connection, powered by Flo, with host Melanie Smith and my guests William Clare, Kayon Cox, and Davidson Lewis. All right, I want to now ask you that, do you feel that you have had to prove yourself beyond your degree?
Yeah, I would say so. I think a degree is just like a stamp.
Right.
And it's the new baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's 20 years ago, people were able to form very successful careers off of just high school education, just proper experience.
Mm-hmm.
But not almost everybody has a degree.
Right.
Which is a good thing, but you need icing on that cake.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing, you know, to say that I was expected to, you know, be beyond my degree. I would say, you know, just like my colleague said, like a degree is just to say, like, you know, you went to school, you studied this, but I do feel like it trickles down into knowing other things, whether you know, you got to know how to relate to people, you got to know how to do other things, whether it's technical, vocational, that all these things come into end in hand. But I've never personally felt like someone saying, like, oh, you have to be able to do
X, Y,
X, Y, Z, per se. Mm. But I'm sure it does happen. And
yeah, I guess if you had asked me 4 years ago, if once you have a degree, it would be easy to actually have a job, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But actually having lived that and having have that degree and coming back, it is quite difficult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just a matter of having a diploma that sort of like validate your studies, but it goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Your experience, exactly how you interact with people, how can you logical think.
Right.
And it's the kind of thing that I think perhaps we touched about it before mm-hmm. the break, the fact that we, the younger generation, we've lived abroad, we've seen other things, and perhaps those things we can actually come back and implement these things to perhaps I'm gonna be very wrong to say that, a dinosaur way of managing things here. You know what I mean? And I think our youthfulness, I think our sort of like everything that we've learned abroad should be proclaimed, right? For actually helping today's advancement, and so it's not just a degree, it's everything else that comes with it.
I think it's useful. Mm-hmm. I think like how you have personal character, I think what we describe as a professional character,
mm-hmm.
you know, the integrity, your ability to kind of have your competencies, and as Kayon said, the different soft skills,
mm-hmm.
especially nowadays, besides the technical stuff, soft skills is actually more pronounced.
Right.
And it's something that's continually understated, you know,
and
underemphasized.
Okay. And all of you have studied abroad and then had to return home. And so living on your own for some time, how easy was it for you to come back? I'm not sure if you're living with parents or you're on your own. You know, what has that experience been like for your returning?
I must say I'm 26 and I'm still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the easiest thing, but it's one of the things that you've got to do before you can actually you know, father yourself. And and I just look at it from a very sort of a strategic method, as in I just finished school,
mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
going to be living at home for 2-3 years before I can actually make it on my own. And so there's no regret, there's no shame, and I think that's mm-hmm. probably one thing that we need to stop doing is sort of like shame blame people,
right?
We all have a various journey, we're all going to be doing it differently, it's all gonna come different to different people,
mm-hmm.
we just have to
mm-hmm.
embrace it,
right? So true.
And so for me, 26, living at home, it's going to happen, and yeah, there's no blame in the world whatsoever.
Awesome.
Great.
Just to piggyback off of what Davidson was saying, I was gonna say, like, you know, everyone has a different path in life,
so you
know, like with him, you know, you say you're 26 and living at home, is no shame in that,
right?
Versus
mm-hmm.
someone who would have had an opportunity to move out maybe at like 20,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have the opportunity to go to school,
right?
Or but
right.
they may have had the
right.
opportunity to get that job.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like everyone has their own path in life. But for me, like the transition home, I have very supportive parents, so
yes,
a supportive family. In
mm-hmm.
fact, so when I first moved back home from doing my master's. I was staying with my brother, and then I recently, you know, transitioned to having my own space. Okay. So I feel like, you know, it's been pretty easy. I mean, as old as I am, my parents are still there for me.
Of course, and they will always be. Right? Yeah. So, they will always be. They're never going to go anywhere.
I'm the oldest one. But it would be wrong if I didn't acknowledge my parents.
My teacher is my good friend.
They've always been supportive. And I think the thing I liked about them, they never really doubted what I wanted to do.
Awesome parents.
Once they saw the intensity and the effort, they just kind of respected it.
Right.
So me coming back home, I think it's just a sign, are you ready?
Right.
And I think the pandemic just kind of accelerated that. As to what I really wanted. And I really think Texas is a diamond in the rough.
Right.
So all the things we speak about, there's an opportunity to improve it.
Of course.
It's just a gathering of minds and effort, really.
Right. And the reason why I have all three of you here today.
Yeah, and to put certain things in place, whether it's an ordinance or an initiative.
Right.
And you know, it's going to take a bit of time.
Right. And your voices need to be heard. And so it's important for you to not shy away from whatever it is you're going to share with us today. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't talk about it, persons who are in positions to help us won't know what it is they need to put their hands on to change to make this better for us, our Turks and Caicos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from your journey, of course, you've had pros and cons, and plus you've learned a lot based on what you're sharing with us here. What are some things you feel had to happen to get you where you are today in terms of your career, and would you do anything different?
Now, that's very tricky. I guess we all are here today because we know what we wanted, and we fought it to the bitter end. Rather it's through COVID, moving to a different country altogether that you actually have no real sort of like connection with, or you don't know how to navigate. We were away, and we were there for a specific reason, and we actually sort of like see it to the end. And I think it's something that we need to be proud of.
Although
we may not see it, right? But we have to actually take the time.
If we don't
have a job, we don't have the dream job right now, we have to be quite pleased with the fact that we've done something that is quite massive.
I like that.
A lot of people haven't had that chance or couldn't do it.
Yes.
And so a lot of people who possibly would not think about going away from home for 4 years by themselves and completely isolated, right? And so with all these that's happening right now, we have to be very sort of like, you know, we've done it. So one step, we're gonna get to the second step, and we'll get to the third, and we're gonna get that end product that we really want.
See the end in mind.
Stephen Cover, I think in my case, I think just embracing, I guess, just the curveballs that kind of life throws at you, and to kind of have a mindset shift is to kind of, you know, being declined in certain ways.
Right.
Because each time you get rejected from a job, it's probably another one around the corner.
Yeah.
So it's probably something that you kind of have to pivot.
Right. And sometimes that door is just not for you.
And similar to what Davidson was saying with his massive amounts of job, I think he didn't take it personal.
It didn't sound so for sure.
You didn't take it personal. It just makes you kind of hungry if that's truly what you want. I mean, I guess in terms of making it different, I guess, you know, when I was being a bit more young, I guess maybe taking a bit more advantage.
Right.
Especially like in my younger years in university, of like the career fairs and things like that.
Like that, yeah. Okay.
You know.
And you just mentioned the word pivot, and I want to ask you now, how have you been able to pivot or even think critically about your skills and knowledge gain, and can it be applied to different opportunities if the one you aspire to is not open at this time?
I mean, for me, it's always been being able to be flexible, being able to sort of like not dwell on that sort of like principle that you've learned in school. You know, if you don't have a job in the field of studies that you actually went for, it's okay. Like you've done, it's totally okay to venture off, to try something different, to see where it leads.
Potentially,
it could take you to a place that you never knew that you actually enjoyed.
That you liked. And I know of someone who did that in their career here. They went away, studied, I can't remember what it was, but they ended up in the hospitality industry, and today she's a general manager, mm-hmm. you know. Okay. So people do have different experiences as it relate to perhaps not being able to get that actual position yes. that they really want. Keon, I want to ask you, in your current space, and having a better understanding of issues the communities and citizens are facing, mm-hmm. have you been able to advocate for issues to be addressed, for real issues to be addressed?
What I will say is that I feel as though I've had great ideas,
right?
And you bring those ideas to the table,
right?
And people would say like, oh, you know, this is a great idea, we can do it, but I have a problem with the execution part of it.
Right.
So it's like
pulling teeth.
Yeah, having a great idea is just the first stage, you know. In my position per se, I'm not the head. Mm-hmm. The very like top
right,
person.
Right.
So you're always gonna have someone you have to go to. You're always gonna have different procedures and guidelines and to follow. But I feel as though I'm like. I still working on the execution part of it, you know.
Okay.
But definitely hearing citizens out, like working in government has given me an opportunity to hear what some of the issues are in outside there.
Right,
like
right.
In the
right.
outside world, like you know what issues you have mm-hmm. in the your work environment, but when you listen to civilians, like you listen like customer service,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's a very sore point as well too. So you know,
right?
Customers feel as though you're not listening to them, or you know they don't feel like they're being helped. And I try to find ways to combat that, but I also feel like a big thing that we need to personally do is educate.
Right.
The population. I think
mm-hmm.
that's a sore point for us because You can have expectations, but how can I expect you to know when I haven't give you, the education to know that this is how this is done, this is
mm-hmm.
why you need to do it,
okay.
you know? And I'll just like to slip a point in right there.
Right.
I mean, you know, Turks
right.
and Caicos, get your passport. Get your passport.
Get it. Don't let it expire on you, huh?
Yes, you know, update your IDs. That's very important, especially, you know, the young population.
Right.
Like, these are things that we should have. We
right.
live here,
mm-hmm.
and it's available to us. Get
and
it.
Make sure and get
you know,
it.
Get it. Don't let it be a situation where you need for us to come up with some opportunity to help you, and we cannot.
And you cannot.
You
yeah.
know, because that's what really breaks my heart, not being able to help someone because they didn't do their part.
Do their part.
You know, things
that's
are readily
important.
Available.
Mm-hmm.
Get your birth certificate, get your passport, get your status card. These things are there, and they are important.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I think that was a thread that I posted maybe a year ago, like
mm-hmm.
five things that I would love to see
people
the young
do.
Population
okay.
do.
Mm-hmm.
And getting their documents was
wow.
number one on
wow.
my list.
And that's
yeah.
very important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for
yeah.
that. If you're just tuning in, you have missed the entire show. This is Career Connection powered by Flow. We'll take our last break and we'll be back with a word from our sponsors.
Imagine you have Hollywood at your command. Introducing Flow Evil.
Red jeans, gold rings, all black, everything creeping through the night.
Anywhere you are. There's a world of entertainment here, and you run the show. Flow Evil.
Welcome back to Career Connection. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, along with my guests, William Clare, Keon Cox, and Davidson Lewis, and we're discussing navigating the job market as returning graduates. Before we break, we talk about if you've been able to figure out how your skills and knowledge gained can be applied to different opportunities where you will have no alternative in being realistic and not sticking to the degree that you previously studied, you know, and so again, you have to do something else. Were you able to be open-minded in this case when you were doing it? Were you able to be open-minded in the fact that, okay, I got a degree in this, but I'm not able to get a job in that right now, you know, were you able to be open-minded?
Very much so. In my case, after I finished my 2-year grad scheme, I just needed to take a bit of a mental break. Right. So I was fortunate enough to get onto an internship where I did 6 weeks in Malta,
okay,
supporting a fledgling startup that was about sustainable transport.
Okay.
But all things had to end.
Wow.
So I had to go to London and just literally find a position on the fly.
Okay.
And I was fortunate to get to a small climate resilience organization. So it's almost as though, like, I felt as though when I needed it, the opportunity came and it was able to give me what I needed at that time. So after I finished the climate resilience offer, I was immediately into like a top ranking environmental consultancy in London.
Okay.
I was doing business support.
Okay.
So just being a jack of all trades in that way.
Amazing, amazing. And so our show is coming to an end quickly. And so before we close, what tips would you give graduates on navigating the job market and dealing with post-graduation depression and building resilience?
I mean, for me, give up. I am quite an advocate for that, and possibly an example for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever be discouraged. If it's not your year, it's going to be the next year. And so just know exactly what makes you happy and just go for it.
Right.
Full-fledged.
Right.
Okay. For me, it would be, you know, don't put all of your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to branch out and, you know, discover what things you like, what else you can do. I always say Turks and Caicos is the land of opportunity.
Right.
There's so many things, like over the COVID-19, the pandemic, you've seen so many young people starting businesses and doing their passions, and that was really great to see. Because
if
it wasn't for COVID-19, I wouldn't have known that so many people had all these talents and they're very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, if you have a talent, pursue it. You know, you will eventually, everything that's for you is for you.
It's for you.
And I'm a strong believer of that. You know, you may have been rejected, but not denied.
Right.
You
see? Right.
So, you know, just keep going.
Amazing.
I would say, like, leverage your existing resources, because most universities or schools have some type of career support.
Right.
So find mentors in that space.
Okay.
People within your network, even if it's older graduates that are a few years older than you, that may be in the type of careers that you want, ask for certain tips to how they got.
Perfect.
Like,
perfect.
You know. And I think focus a bit more on what you can give as opposed to what you can expect. Like, I had to learn this recently, your value proposition.
Right, and I love
how
that.
Do you continue to pivot yourself, even if it's a small course on Coursera, about how to understand, how to public speak or something. What creates your value?
Right.
And whilst you're waiting for this job to come, you're working on yourself.
On yourself.
So when
Amazing. And so even for persons who are now considering to study abroad and listening to your interview this morning, what tips would you give them in terms of striking a balance of what career they would like to go into versus opportunities available?
It all depends on what makes you happy.
Right.
It's not about what will get you into a fancy office. It's not about what would make your parents proud. It's what's going to make you happy.
Yes.
That's the only thing that's going to get you up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is knowing that what you're doing, you love to do, even if it doesn't pay well, even if it's long and strenuous and whatever the case may be.
Right.
If it makes you happy, you'll get in the morning 5 minutes before and you'll be there.
You'll be there.
And so
show up.
Be true to yourself. Don't actually do anything that wouldn't sort of like make you happy. So go for what makes you happy.
Amazing.
And see yourself in 20 years. You know, what would you want to be?
Right.
But I think as well with passionate, I think passion itself needs to have another backup.
Okay.
Like, it's also like, where do your skills kind of meet?
Okay.
And you have to kind of find a way of marrying it, you know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Because that's the thing that's going to make it solid.
Right.
I like that.
Do you have any parting words, Kate?
Parting words, I would just say, you know, sometimes we may feel as though, you know, we're not getting through the door at that point in time. But, you know, sometimes there's a little groundwork that we also need to do as young people.
Right.
I would highly recommend, you know, getting in touch with a mentor. You know, we also have the Turks and Caicos Recruitment Group.
Yeah.
So, Thank you for putting that in.
Get to know Melanie, because, you know, she's a wonderful person.
She can
help you with your resume, your interview skills. And, these are things that I feel like are important, because, you know, we don't know it all. Like I say, we also need guidance.
Yes.
And I think that's also important, to attach yourself to someone who can teach you and help you. Mm-hmm.
And we have to kind of be prepared to work.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think if you read certain books, I think the 48 Laws of Power says, you know, despise a free lunch.
Right.
So you have to kind of give something before you take
something. Before you take it.
You know, I think I saw this in a movie. I thought it was a bit kind of bit makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're not bringing something to the table, you take something off.
You're taking something off.
And in the Turks and Caicos Islands, we can't have too much taken off our table right now.
So true.
We have to build it up.
You
know, with the diversified economy, we have to establish a stronger cultural base.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find ourselves, strengthen that, and build our skills, basically.
Right. Important. David, said any parting words before we close up? The show is coming to an end quickly.
Yeah. Make sure, as you rightfully said, make sure you've used every sort of resource that you've got. It's there. Make use of it, because obviously if you don't, someone else will.
Right.
And right now, it definitely is sort of like you have to do it for the better of the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Amazing. Good. Thank you all so much.
It's been
a great value to the show this morning. We have posted a question for a giveaway today, which was, a series of related jobs or occupations build on a foundation of interest, knowledge, training, and experiences is called, and my very good friend BTSW Production answered the question, and the answer is career. So thank you so much for that. I will be in touch with you to let you know the prize that you won, compliments of Flo. Thank you so much. We will be sharing another trivia question next week between the hours of the show, which is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., so stay tuned for that. We are Flowing with Flo on RTC 89.1 FM with my guests William Clare, Kayon Cox, and Davidson Lewis, and your host Melanie. If you would like to learn more about Career Connection or have a story to share about your career journey, we would love to interview you. Feel free to contact me at careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. That's careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. This has been Career Connection, powered by Flo on 89.1 FM. Special thanks to RTC here in Provo and in Grand Turk, and Flo Turks and Caicos. And to my esteemed guests, you outdid yourselves today. I'm very, very proud of you. I'm Melanie Smith. Join me again on Thursday morning on Radio Turks and Caicos at 9 a.m. Follow RTC and Flo Facebook pages. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Melanie Smith or Turks and Caicos Recruitment Group. Our wrap up for today is, don't lose hope throughout your journey. Begin positioning yourself at a very early stage and be open to relevant opportunities. Until next Thursday, make that connection today. Thank you.